And this goes about along with about everything else I've got into today. You might not want to ride with me for a while. I managed to get a little fender bender out here at the end of, is it Hoosier Boulevard, honey? Is that what was on the report, Hoosier Boulevard and 31? I think that was what was on the police report. But yeah, we got a little. Actually, it turned out pretty good. The girl wasn't going, she was going pretty fast, but when I came across from the restaurant, I looked and I didn't see anything. Of course, that's what they all say, right? I didn't see anything, but there was a car turning. I think she may have been behind the car from the angle that I was. Well, anyway, as I barreled across, I looked the other way because I'm going to try to scoot on by. And, of course, that didn't work. Well, when I looked back, here's a car in the window where it's not supposed to be a car. And to keep from hitting me, she kind of turned with me as I went and ended up just, her bumper just bumped my tire. It didn't even bend the metal on mine. It bent the bumper on her car just a little. So for that, we're thankful. You know, she could have got me in the door or something. Could have been a lot worse, I guess. But the Lord wanted me here, evidently. So you people have to listen to me. Because the Lord evidently wants me here. Because he you know, carried us through that today. So for that, we're thankful. But I want to tell everybody welcome to the 63rd annual TFT conference. I can't believe that it's been 63 years. You ever thought about that? So I'm only 51, and that's young. That's pretty young. I can't believe it's been that this thing has been going for 63 years. That's incredible. And it's, amen. It is absolutely to God be the glory. And we, for that, are thankful. Because if the Lord didn't want that, believe me, it wouldn't be. So thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for 63 conferences from TFT. I want to welcome you all here. And I want to say thanks to the Bible Forum. Love the folks here and love to visit the Bible Forum. We were up here, was it last November? I believe it was. Was it last November? Yeah, we came up and stayed at the best bed and breakfast in Peru. And I mean that, it was good. Pete and Rosie took good care of us. Me and Pete tried to get a deer and didn't manage not to do that, luckily for the deer. But anyway, it is great to see all the folks here at the forum again. Bob, it's good to see you guys. Please give Joe and Marie our regards when you see them. Let them know that we love them. And lest I forget this, I was instructed by all the folks at the Carolina Bible Group back home. They all send their love, and especially Mom and Dad. So they would love to be here if they could. And hopefully next year they will. Mom's scheduled to get her foot took off July the 13th. And they're going to fit her with a prosthetic. And I told her, well, your goal ought to be walk in that place next year and hug all their necks. So that's what she's going to plan to do. And we hope it's in the Lord's will that it turn out that way. So that's what we're shooting for. So I think that covers pretty much all my announcements. Do you know of anything I'm leaving out before we get started? Okay, if not, bow with me and let's go before the throne of grace. Father, as always, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Father, we thank you for each and every one that has made their way here. Father, in anticipation of what they may hear. Father, our prayer is that only your will and only your words would be spoken tonight. And Father, that all things that are said and done will be said and done to the uplifting. And Father, for the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for the edification of the saints that have come this way. Father, you know our hearts. You know our yearn to know and understand more of your word. And Father, our prayer is that you would send that Holy Spirit now even to our midst. And Father, that you would open the eyes and the hearts of not only me, but of all those that have come this way. Father, use these lips to deliver your word as you would have it spoke for us in the name above every name tonight. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do humbly pray. Amen. And thank you. Our theme this year for the 63rd annual TFT conference is Philippians 4:13. And I love the book of Philippians. It happens to be one of my personal favorites. And I've got some opinions on Philippians. Some of you may share them and some of you may not. But what I would like to do with my study, my time tonight, and hopefully when we get started about. What I would like to do with my time tonight is give a little introduction, being first on the roster, and kind of get your mind and your spirit, because we are all in one spirit here, right? Let me get your mind and your spirit sort of working toward what's going on in Philippians, or at least thinking about what's going on in Philippians. I'll throw out a few things, some things that I've seen down through my travels in the last few years, and probably some of them you've already thought about, maybe some of them you haven't. I was looking back through my little book, and I've got a little study book, and then digging backwards on the 2nd of June in 2007 for the 59th annual TFT conference, our theme was Philippians 1, 9 through 10. And then as I was flipping through my book, I found another one. In 2008, our theme was Philippians 3:14. So we seem to be, now we're all the way over to chapter 4. So Bob, you know, we're out of Philippians. I don't know where we're going to go next. We may have to pick something in between. But anyway, I was kind of looking through my notes, and I was like, wow, I said that. You know, that's not too bad. So I may actually even flip back over to some of my old notes tonight. And with the day I've had, that might be a good idea. So turn with me, if you would, back over to Philippians chapter 1. I want to do a little introduction. I want to kind of get us in the Philippians frame of mind for the conference. I realize that, you know, Bob does a theme every year, and I don't have a problem with that. I think having a theme, it seems to work as good as just letting everybody do their own thing. We've done it both ways. Seems like the Lord gets the glory, and the Lord's message gets put forth one way or the other. And, you know, the Lord is always the theme. God, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ should be the theme of all these conferences for sure. But what I want to do is do a little introduction in Philippians. We're going to go back to the book of Acts, and we're going to look around a little bit. We're going to get a little groundwork and who these Philippians are. You know, Paul didn't just name these books the first book I got from the Lord. He could have done that. You ever wonder why, when you look through these books, they have people's names on them or a group's name on them? You know, they had groups very similar to what we had back in this day. And I believe it's coming around again in with the shape our world is getting in. I believe it's coming back and around to a point to where the true Word of God is going to be found in homes again. Because it's there and only there that you can study and see things and believe what the Lord shows you without having to worry about the judgment of man intervening in it, or having to worry about bending to some denominational slant or whatever. And that's the way it was back in this day. There was a group of believers at Philippi. You know, we look at that book of Philippians and we say, well, that's just what the name of the book is. But it's not. There are people behind this name. There was a group of people there. He didn't write the book to the town of Philippi. He wrote the book back to this group of believers that were there. So it's a personal thing. It's a very personal thing with Paul. And listen, as I throw my glasses. Listen, he loved these people. You guys on the front row, you might want to be careful. I'm having an accident-prone day. Yeah. But Paul loved these people. He loved these people deeply, I think, as we'll see. And I'm going to start at the beginning of Philippians. We're going to go back and look at some things in Acts. And then we're going to go over, and I'm going to lead into Philippians 4 just to kind of get everybody in a Philippian sort of mindset, okay? Before I read it, I'm going to read Philippians 1, 1 through 10, and I'll say this. I believe and still believe. I've believed this for a while. I believe the book of Philippians to be the earliest written of Paul's 7 post-Acts epistles, and it comes across to me as a transitional book. Now, if you look at Philippians in comparison to Ephesians, Philippians is a little more transitional. And when I say transitional, of course, I mean, I believe it's a little more transitional from the previous dispensation. If you were a compadre of the Apostle Paul down through his life, how many times would you have had to change what you think in order to be in line with the doctrine of this man? Several times. He went from being the one from the feet of Gamaliel, as he said, of all the Pharisees, I was the chief. I was the main man. As touching the law, I'm blameless. I know these things. And God knew what he was doing when he picked this man. Because nobody knew the other side better than Paul once he saw and he met that light on the road that no man can approach unto. He knew some things. So he went from being the Pharisee of the Pharisees, as he calls himself, to being the one who preached to the Gentiles after Acts, the 10th chapter. Right? The grafting in. Everybody remember that? He went to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. That's what the book says. Well, then after Acts 28:28, guess what? God changed his direction again, didn't he? And praise the Lord for that, because that's where we fit in. Or at least that's where I believe we fit in. So if you were gonna be a compadre of Paul's at this time, a fellow laborer as he calls them, you would have had to change your mind several times to keep up with him. It is a wonder to me that the ones that did hang with him hung with him as long as they did, as many times as he changed the things that he believed down through his life. Luke, think of the things that Luke saw. Luke joined in what, about Acts the 16th chapter, in the wee parts of Acts 16? Think of the transitions that Luke saw, all the way down to even at the end of 2 Timothy, where Paul says, only Luke is with me. He's the only one here. So let's read this, and as we go through, think about these things, meditate on these things in Philippians. And when I say transitional, I mean coming from one dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom and the Lord's day, moving over into the day of Christ and the message of the church, the body of Christ. Now, you won't see the word mystery as we know it, the mystery of the church, the body of Christ. You won't see that word used in Philippians. But there are a lot of other things there that make it equally important. And I'll point those out as we go down through it. So for kind of introduction, let's read Philippians 1, 1 through 10. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. See, they have an organization to them. They have some rank and file to them. Bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, he says, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. See? He remembers them. First thing he says, I thank God every time I remember you. Every time I think of you, every time you come into my mind, he says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The first day. What does that mean? We're going to go back and look at what I think the first day was. He says in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, see, there was a beginning, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until, here's an ending, the day of Christ. Now, up until this point, the Old Testament prophets and the Apostle Paul had only known one day, and that was the Lord's day. The great and terrible day of the Lord. It's the subject of lots of Old Testament prophecy. Joel, Zechariah, several, I believe, in Isaiah, Ezekiel. I mean, there's several, lots of scripture that you, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but do a study on the two terms, either the Lord's day or the day of the Lord, it's called. It's the subject of Old Testament prophecy. You also read about the detailed events of it in the book of the Revelation, in the book of Revelation. But here, Paul's talking about a different day. It's a new day. He says he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. You're sharing in the grace that I'm receiving, even, he says, in my bonds. Now, you gotta remember, this man, as he's writing this probably, this man's a prisoner. And I don't mean he's physically a prisoner. He's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely. He's made that plain from the time of the Damascus Road forward. But here not only is he a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a physical prisoner. He's been held in bonds, he says. So he's literally a prisoner here as well. He said, for God in verse 8 is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now that's longing for somebody pretty bad. Remember, these are the real people that he's talking to. It's not just a name on a book. These people had faces. They had lives. They had personalities. You know, just very similar to what we got here. You know, I know a good deal about all you people. I know more about Mike than I really probably should, but that's a joke, Mike. But you see my point. The point is these people were real to Paul, and he loved them, and they meant something to him. And I believe that's why this book went back to them as he penned it. He said, for God is my record, verse 8, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge or epignosis and in all judgment or perception, that ye may approve things that are excellent, or a little closer in the text of the Greek, try the things that differ, or try the things that are different. Now why would he say that here? Well, he's already popped a new day on us, hasn't he? I don't remember seeing the day of Christ in the scripture before we get to this point. So does it seem logical to you that this is a good place to say, hey, you better look at things that are different. You better try these things that you haven't heard before. It seems to me that this will be a good place for him to say that, and he does. That you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till, there it is again, the day of Christ. And you'll see it not only here, it's in Philippians 1 verse 6 and 1 verse 10, but you'll see it in chapter 2 verse 16 as well. It's mentioned there also. Now, to sort of set the stage for the book of Philippians, the apostle is in prison. As we've already read, we saw that in verse 7, and also a few in chapter 1. You go on over and look at verses 13 through 16, you'll see that he's waiting for a judgment. There's a judgment day for him as the world goes. And there, he said, I'll see how it goes with me. But there was a day set that they were going to try the man. So he's sitting there. Get the mindset now. He's sitting in prison. He's awaiting judgment. He says, I'm in bonds, probably a little tighter security than he's had in the past when he was just in his own hired house, as we read there at the end of the book of Acts. And he is writing back to fellow partakers in the grace of Christ after receiving a care package from these saints at Philippi. Did you know that? Flip over to chapter 4 for just a second. What I'm trying to do is put us in the very place and in the very mind of Paul as these things were unfolding, as he was writing the book. Where is it? Yeah, chapter 4, verse 18. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things from you, the which were sent there, is added by the translators. He said, having received of Epaphroditus the things from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said, but my God, verse 10, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if you read some of the other verses prior to this in chapter 4, you'll see that he commends the Philippians for seeing to his needs here again. He said there was a time that you didn't, but I thank God that you are again, that you're taking care of my needs, because he obviously wasn't able to do that for himself in the situation he's in. So let's look at a few more of the mindset things I want you to get in. I want you to imagine that you're the Apostle Paul sitting there in this prison, and you're writing this letter, and I want you to get a good picture of what's going on around him. He's received a package, okay, from the fellow partakers in the grace of Christ. Paul in this book speaks of a new day, the day of Christ. He speaks of an out resurrection that, to my knowledge, had not been mentioned before that point. Now, that's in Philippians 2, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 3. Just 3, yeah. 3:10, let's read it. Paul speaking of Christ, that I may know him. And that's gnosko, incidentally, to acquire knowledge or to get to know. So again, it seems transitional to me. He said, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He's already said, everything that I had as a Jew is just a pile of dung. It's no good to me whatsoever. It's nothing. But here's what he's after now. This is what he's striving for. This is what his mindset is. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the ekanastasia of the dead. The out resurrection from among the necrois, the corpses. That I would come out of the corpses and some will stay. That's what happened to Lazarus. Think about it. In a sense, isn't that what happened to Lazarus in John 11? He had an out resurrection. He was raised before his time. And Christ told him why? So that you may see the power of God manifested here, and that by seeing that you may believe. That was the purpose. Dad went over this last Wednesday night during his study. So think about that. Paul wants to attain, he said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So I see it as transitional. He's already mentioned a new day. Here he mentions a different resurrection. Now, this is a lot to swallow. for these people. It's a lot to swallow. Think about it. What have they been taught so far? If you had been a compadres of Paul up to this point, what would you believe? Kingdom? King and kingdom? Day of the Lord? Heavenly Jerusalem? All these things? So would what he's saying seem pretty strange? Would to me. And that's not all. He talks about the out resurrection. He talks about a high calling. Talks about a high calling. A different calling. And he also talks about a citizenship in heaven. Our citizenship, he says, is in heaven. Turn with me to chapter 3 again. Chapter 3, verse 20 of Philippians. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in case you made a mistake about what he meant by heaven, he says it's the same place that you're going to be looking when the Lord returns. We look at that same heaven. The word there for conversation in verse 20 is the Greek word politome. And I probably haven't pronounced that correctly. Politome. And it kind of loosely translated means community or life as a citizen with all the governmental things that go along with it. Bullinger's dictionary had an real interesting definition for that. And that's kind of the best I can boil it down into. Check it out sometimes. Community, life as a citizen in heaven, which is the Greek word arunos. And that one means the sky, and by extension, heaven as the abode of God. And he clarifies it, I think, in the bottom part of the verse, where he says, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get to Acts 2 and the Lord ascends, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he ascended and says that cloud of angels took him up out of their sight. He was gone. He went up toward the heavens. And that's where Paul says the conversation is, our citizenship is. So that's a little new to them too, isn't it? Or is that exactly the same thing as the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, or down out of heaven from God? As it says in Revelation. A little bit different deal there, isn't it? So no wonder he had to say, look, you're going to have to try the things that differ. It's not approve things that are excellent. It's try the things that are different. You got to compare things. Don't make things that are similar to be exactly the same. Turn with me over to Acts 16 for just a minute. I know we're running out of time. Acts the 16th chapter. And my old notes say that this particular time period of the book of Acts right here that we're going to look at occurs around 52 to 53 A.D., and it's right after we pick up with the we parts. And by we parts, I believe it's explained as when Luke joined Paul. The we parts. So turn with me to Acts 16. And let's start at verse 8. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. And that's where I mean the we parts come in. The way that the book of Philippians is written from this point forward. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi. So see, we arrive at Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out, I'm in verse 13, on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Now there's a note in the Companion Bible about this possibly being a synagogue, but they're not sure. I don't know if it was or not. But it's a place, as the scripture describes it, where prayer was wont to be made. So there was evidently a group praying there. And we sat down and we spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. See, they didn't open her heart. The Lord opened it. Whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And then it goes on, if you go down to verse 16 and go on, you'll get into the damsel that was possessed by the demon. Drop down to verse 22. And I want to read you verse 22 through 34. Now these were additional converts here at the time. It says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Because you remember the story. When they cast the demon out of the woman, they messed up a little bit, because she brought the guys that owned her a lot of money by soothsaying. She was a necromancer. She was a medium, was what we'd call her today. And she'd probably be on TV if she were with us today. But she was a medium, and this, of course, stirred up the people of Philippi against him. So when they had laid many stripes upon them, verse 23, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's hands were loosed. Wow. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. That was the easy way out, because he was going to take their place had they been gone. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And then it goes on to say that they brought him in, sat meat with him, and rejoicing, believing in God with all his house. So see, you see here the people, the real people of Philippi, these that had seen the power, these that had understood that what Paul was saying was a little bit different. And this is back in the Acts period now. This is not, we've went back to the other side of Acts 28:28 now. Now, most all of you know this. Everybody in here should know this. But what I'm doing is giving you some groundwork on The Philippians. Who are the Philippians? Now, flip back with me, back over to Philippians 4. And I want to do a lead in. Now that we know a little bit about these people, let's see what's going on here at the end of the book of Philippians. And it's, the book is so short, it's one of them that you can read over and over and over again. It's not difficult to read, or nor does it take very long to read it. Actually, let's move up to chapter 3 to get the context. He says in 3:17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example," or a model or a pattern, is what that word means. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." And then the verse we reviewed earlier, he says, "For our conversation," our citizenship, is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now see, he hasn't said one word about the mystery, has he? But man, there's a lot of new stuff here. He has seen some things in Philippians that has caused him to write back to these folks that he dearly loved. And he says this as it goes on down in chapter 4. He says, "Therefore," or because of what I've already said, "therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for." See, he makes it perfectly clear through this entire book his love for these people. That's what amazes me in the book of Philippians. It thrills your heart, the joy and the love that's written in, woven into this book. And it's for the people, these people. "Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Now, I don't know if there was a little disagreement between these two, or if these two had a disagreement and some problems with the new stuff Paul was telling them. I don't know. I haven't looked into this deeply enough yet. I looked into it, but I still haven't decided even for myself. So that may be one thing some of you may want to grab and take off with as you read this. He said, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Now, best of my knowledge, Ronnie McCurry's name is not in the book of life. Y'all not throwing tomatoes, so that's good. Ronnie McCurry's name, I don't believe, is in the book of life. That was for another dispensation and another time, and I believe that to be true of these people too. When Paul brought this new truth around, did it wipe out what the ones believed before this in the previous dispensation? It was another family of God, wouldn't it? Something to think about. He said, "Whose names are written in the book of life?" You got to help them. And labored there is, it seems to be in the past tense too. I need to check that one out, but just something for you to think about. He says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always," or always. "And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God by prayer and supplication. Two totally different things. Prayer is one thing, supplication is another. We need to look into those things. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care or your thinking of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. See, they're thinking about him again. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Boy, now, do I have a problem with that one. If I'm hungry, I run to get me something to eat. If I'm cold, I run to try to find some heat. If I'm too hot, I'm hunting the air conditioning. I have a real problem with being content with wherever I am. I just really do. But evidently he didn't. He said he had learned how. And whenever you read of the sufferings that this man went through, it's pretty obvious to me that he did know how to handle these things. And he did it all through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says our theme verse. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Doesn't surprise me a bit that he can do this. Notwithstanding, he says, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So these people loved him, and they were taking care of him, as it witnesses when you go on down a few more verses to the whatever it was that he had got from them. Probably some minor needs, something that he had need of, that they took care of. They were real people. And that's what I want everybody, as we go through, and the speakers that decide to speak on Philippians 4, what I wanted to do was to kind of get you in a Philippian mindset. And I wanted you to see what Paul was seeing when he was writing this. And I wanted you to feel what Paul was feeling when he was writing this, especially what he was feeling for these fellow believers. Because I believe that the love and the spirit that he felt for them is the same love and the same spirit that we should all feel for each other. And I do feel that for you guys. I love you and I want you to know that. I appreciate the opportunity, Bob. Thank you for the privilege it is to speak. It always is a privilege, and for the fellowship and love that we always feel here when we're here. So God bless you and thank you much. Bow with me and we'll close. Father, thank you for this time that we've had. Father, thank you for your word as we look through it. Father, the more we see, the more we want to see. And Father, the more we see, the more we see we need to see. We thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that it speaks of, for his power and his glory, Father, for that blood that was shed for us. Thank you so much for all that we have in Christ. Thank you for these people that have come this way. God, thank you for all things that we have in him. Be with us, if you would, and bless this conference as we listen to the various speakers that come up. God, use their lips of clay to bring your word as you would have it brought for us. In Christ's name tonight, we do humbly pray. Amen. And thank you very much.